Boker Tov, and welcome back to our ongoing series of Shurim on Daf Yomi. We're now in Masachet Yevamot in the fourth parak, the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Chet Amud Aleph. We will study that Mishnah and the attendant Gemara, which will take us to Lamed Tet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah presents something which is really, in a curious sense, tangential to the last Gemara we studied, which is issues of Yerusha, of inheritance, regarding the Shemaret Yavam. We need a little bit of an introduction here, and that is that there really are three different kind of assets we're going to deal with here. One of them is ketubah. Ketubah is that part of the husband's estate which is committed to covering the ketubah payment, which will be paid upon death or divorce to the almanah or to the grusha, to the woman. The second thing is that when a woman gets married, she brings assets with her into the marriage. Some of these assets she brings in as a partner with her husband, meaning that if they go up in value, she gains. If they go down in value, she loses. And these are called nichsei malog. In Masechet Ketubot, in the middle of Masechet Ketubot, we will deal in greater detail with nichsei malog. And the other type, which is called nichsei tzon barzel, they are strong, like barzel, strong assets, because what she effectively does is hands them over to the husband and gets confirmation that she will get them back at the same value as is the time of the marriage, which means they belong to the husband, and if they go down, he loses. If they go up, he gains, and she has the same commitment back. So those are the three kinds of assets that we'll be discussing here. The Mishnah will present two different halachot which seem to contradict each other, and almost the entire discussion of the Gemara will be identifying a solution to this seeming contradiction, and we will have four different approaches to it, followed by some brightot which support some of the approaches, and a comment by Rav Papa, and that will be the main sugya. So now the Mishnah. Shemeret Yavam shenafu lo nechasim. If a Shemeret Yavam had property come to her, let's say she was an only daughter and there are no brothers, and we at this point are not going to suppose when they fell to her. Did they fall to her before she became a widow? Did they fall to her afterwards? Modim Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, Shemocher v'notenet v'kayam. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree. We'll see they agree, because in this next clause they don't agree. They agree that she may lechatchila buy and sell with this property, and the sale and the purchase and the purchase is valid. Now, Meta, if she dies, Maya yase b'ketubah ta'u v'nechasim v'nechasim yotzinima, what should be done with her ketubah, the money that really should have been owed to her when she became a widow, and with the nichsei malog, Beit Shammai omrim yachloku yorshei ha'bal im yorshei ha'av. Beit Shammai says everything gets split between the two families, because as if she was just a regular widow without any zika, it would all go back to her father's family when she died. If, on the other hand, she had gone ahead and done yibum, it would go totally to her husband's family. Now it's split. Wait till Elomrim, nechasim b'chezkatan, everything stays exactly where it was. Ketubah b'chezkat yorshei habal, the ketubah stays in the property of the yorshei habal, because that's where it was. Nechasim nechasim yotzinima b'chezkat yorshei ha'av. And the nichsei malog stay really with her side, which is the Yoshe Ahav. Now, kinsare kishto l'chol davar. And of course, if he does go ahead and perform yibum, then she's 100% his wife, and the regular rules of inheritance apply. The one stipulation is, unlike a regular wife, her ketubah is written on the estate of the original husband, not of the second husband. The Gemara will make one little rider on this particular point at the end. Okay, now, the Gemara. Mishnah Reishon lo pligi bein Mishnah Sefer de pligi. Our essential question that's going to drive the entire sugya is, why in the Reisha do Beit Shammai Beit Hillel agree, and in the Sefer they disagree? On answer number one, Amar Ula. Reisha denafla kshehi arusa, v'sefer denafla kshehi nesua. Ula makes the split as to when she got the property and when she became a Yivama. The Reisha is talking about a case where she became a Yivama from Erusin, meaning she was arrested to a guy and he died, and she went to his brother. And we'll see why. The Seifa is a case where she fell to him after Nisuin. The Kasava Ula, Zikat Arusa Osa Sofik Arusa, Zikat Nisuin Osa Sofik Nisua. We have a very simple equation. If she falls from a Matzav of Erusim, the Zika creates a connection which is Sofik Erusin to the new brother. If, on the other hand, in which case, by the way, as an arusa, the husband has no claim whatsoever on the property, therefore she is the totally in control, and Bechamed Hillel agree that she can do business. In the Seifa, we're talking about someone who had been married and then fell, which means she has now a zika that makes her Suffolk Nesua. Suffolk Nesua means that we now have a Suffolk about what to do with the money. Beit Shammai says we split it. Beit Hillel says we do a different kind of split, which is to leave everything where it is. Zikat Arusa, so Suffolk Arusa. Zikat Vada Arusa. I can prove to you that Zikat Arusa makes you a Suffolk Arusa. Why? Because if it made you a Vada Arusa, Modim Beit Hillel, Shemachem, Zanam, Kayam, if she was a 100% Arusa when she fell, and during the time that she fell to this brother from Erusin, would Beit Hillel agree that she can lechatchila buy and sell the property? If any property fell to her after Erusin, a regular woman, Beit Shammai Rim Timkor, Beit Shammai says she can sell it, Tilam Rim Lo Timkor. So Beit Hillel says, lechatchila, she may not sell the property, even though it fell to her during Erusin, because the husband has a future claim on it. But, of course, he agrees with the Avad that if she did sell, it was valid. However, Beit Hillel here says, lechatchila she may sell. So it must be that here she's weaker than an Arusa. Ashramina zikat Arusa, osa sofik Arusa. Good. So that Ula proves that the connection of someone who fell from Erusin to the Avam is weaker than regular Erusin. Now, zikat Nisua, osa sofik Nisua. And I could prove to you that if you fall from Nisuin, it makes you a sofik Nisua. If you think that somebody who falls from Nisuin is considered to be just like Nisua to the Baal during the time of falling, Beit Shammai Mirchoku, are Beit Shammai going to say that you could split that you split it? After all, if she is 100% Nisua, then the property belongs to the husband. Yoshea Baal, Yochoku Yoshea Baal, Yoshea Av, but no, Nafluno Chosim Yishnisei. Let's say, and that's in that same Mishnah in Ketubot. Let's say the property came to her after she got married. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that anything she sold, a property that fell to her after Nisuin, the husband can come and take it back. In other words, it's an invalid sale. So why would Beit Shammai say Yachloku? Elashramina Zika Nisuin Osa Sofik Nisua. So we see from here that the Zika that happens to her as a result of Nisuin creates a Sofik Nisua, and weaker than regular Nisuin. Good. That's Ula's take. So Ula's split is the Reisha is property that fell to her when she was an Arusa and she fell that way. The other one is property that fell to her as a Nesua and she fell that way. Now, Amarle Rabba. Rabba says, if that's the case, Ani Palgi Begufa Ula Acharmita, if that's the case, then why are they disagreeing about a case where the woman dies and about the capital itself? Liflugu Bechaya Ula Peirot. So let them disagree. In a normal case, when a woman falls, what happens to the peirot in the meantime? So let Beit Shammai say you split it, and Beit Hillel will say it'll go in whichever direction it goes, which means, by the way, Beit Hillel would say it goes to the Baal. Ela Amar Rabba, so Rabba has a different take. Now Rabba's attack on Ula is not really substantive, saying that he disagrees with the presentation, the resolution is fine, but if that's the case, then they should disagree about a simpler case, which is when any woman falls, what happens to the peirot in the meantime? So Rabbi gives answer number two. Edi v'edi naflak she nesua. Both cases are that she fell after nesuin. V'zika nesua osa suffik nesua. And I agree with you, Ula. It makes her a suffik nesua. So what's the split? Reisha di'i kaima havila yihi vada v'inu suffik. Very simple. The Reisha is a case where the woman's still alive, as it says in the Mishnah. So she has a vadai claim on the property, And the other fellows have a suffix. Vein suffix motzimide vadai. Somebody has a suffix cannot take it away from somebody who has a vadai claim. She has a vadai claim because this property partially belongs to her. She has payroll, she has whatever she has. These guys don't necessarily have a claim, and because she's only a suffix nesua. and therefore she gets to keep it. Seifa, but in the second case, demeta, she died. So now, halal abayin lirash, halal abayin lirash. You've got now two sets of yorshim, each claiming that they're the proper yorish. So then you have to split it, or do the other solution of Beit Hillel. Biachloku. Good. So Rabba's take is to split between the Reisha and the Seifa, and explain why we're not arguing about Peirot, but the Reisha is talking about a case where the woman is still alive, and therefore she can do the business because she's the Vaday owner, and these guys are claiming me Safek, because she's Safek Nesua, they're claiming they own it. Good, so go prove that I really am. Until you can prove that, then it's mine. In the Seifa, she died, which means everybody's got the same claim, same Safek claim. Now, Eitavei Abaya, Abaya challenges this and says, well, the Beit Shammai ain't Safek Motzi Midei Vaday? Wait a second, you're telling me that in the Freisha, Beit Shammai and Hillel agree that she may do business with this property, L'chatchila, and it's valid. And according to that, what it means is that Beit Shammai says, ain't Safek Motzi Midei Vaday, right? That their claim of Safek cannot take it away from her as Vaday. Since when does Beit Shammai say that? It's kind of a curious claim. Of course, Beit Shammai says that. Everybody says that. Let's see what Abaye is getting at. Vatanan, we have the following Mishnah in Bav Batra. Now, follow by Tala V'Yal Aviv. Let's say a man and his father in a house, and there's a cave-in, kind of similar to the case we had earlier. Alav V'Yal Morishav, or it fell on him and somebody else who would be Morish to him, who would bequeath to him an inheritance. Vayu Alav Tubat Isha U'Balchov. So he also, and this man who dies along with someone who would, if they died, give him an inheritance. And he also has a shtar out there, a woman who claims that she owes him money because of a ketubah, and it's a valid claim, and a guy who says he owes him money because of a debt, balchov. So now what happens? The Yoshea Av are going to come and say that the man died first, and the father inherited, and then now we get everything from the father, and you don't have a claim to it. Yoshea Av Amrima Ben Mit Rishon. So the other brothers are going to say, our brother died first. And then father died, and then we get all of it, and you can't touch it. What does the Balchov say? He's going to say, father died first, son inherited with the rest of you guys, and now I have a chelek in that. Now, what happens? Beit Shammai says they have to split. Everything stays where it is, which means it stays in the father's family. You want to prove that the son died first? Go ahead and prove it. So Abaye points out very wisely that here Beit Shammai is having the safek of the Baal Chov taking money, at least forcing a split, with the Yoshea Av, who certainly have a claim here. They're certainly going to be inheriting something. So now, how do we answer this? That Beit Shammai has a particular position about a shtar. We've got a ketubah here. Its time has come, because the man died. We've got a balchov here, and the time of the payment has come. So a shtar, whose time has come, we consider the holder of the shtar to be muchzak in the property, and therefore he's no longer a safek. So we equate him to the Yoshea. That's the way reason. So it's not that Beit Shammai says a safek is motzi midei vaday. Beit Shammai simply says this guy is a vaday, because he's holding the shtar, which is now due, he's a muchzak in the property. Now, and I'll prove to you that Beit Shammai say this. Did not. Metu balei and ad shelo shatu. Here's a woman who was accused of being a sota, and before the husband got a chance to have her drink the water, the husband died. Beit Shammai omrim lo ketubatan ve'inan shotot. Beit Shammai says she gets a tuba from the estate, and we can't make her drink. Beit Hillel omrim o shotot o lo ketubatan. Beit Hillel said no. If she wants the ketubah, she has to drink. If she doesn't drink, she doesn't get the ketubah. Oh, shotot, how can you say that? Maybe Aisha d'ishtom or achmana v'leika. The Torah said that the man has to bring his wife to drink. You can't have her drink if the husband's dead. Ella, what did Beit Hillel mean? Mitoch shelo shotot lo not lo ketubah tan. Beit Hillel says, because she can't drink, she doesn't get a ketubah. But what did Beit Shammai say? Beit Shammai says that she does not drink and she does get the ketubah. Here you have a suffix. Suffix zanoi, suffix lo zanoi. And there's a suffix whether or not she had an affair. If she had an affair, she'd lose the ketubah. The ka'ati suffix motzi midei vadai. And the suffix comes and is motzi midei vadai. Right? The suffix comes and takes away from, in other words, the vadai is that the property belongs to the husband. And on the other hand, she's a safek. Maybe she should be getting it. Maybe she shouldn't be, because maybe she had the affair. Safek zanai, safek lo zanai. Right? And v'kati safek motzmi nevedai. El shvamin ashtar me v'kvot kegavui dami. Because this ketubah was written, and then the husband died, she is considered muhsak. And therefore, she does get the ketubah, according to Beit Shammai. So what do we see? We see that Beit Shammai holds that shtar ha'omed likvot kegavui dami. And therefore, in the case of the balchov, or the ketubah, when the two people died together in the cave, and we don't know who died first, he considers those people to be as muhsak as the yorshim. And therefore, he does not hold that Safik is Motsimi de Vadai, but just in such a case, you're both Vadai. So now, Abaye, Lotva Miha, so why doesn't Abaye use this particular case from the Sota to challenge the Mishnah? The answer is, Dilma Ktubah Tisha Shani, Yishum China. He said, perhaps Ktubah is different. In other words, perhaps the reason that she gets the Ktubah in the case of the husband died and she couldn't drink, maybe Beit Shammai's reason is different here. Maybe his reason is because we want this woman to be able to remarry, and if she doesn't have a ketubah, so she doesn't bring anything into the marriage, it'll be harder. There's often this consideration, we'll see it a lot in ketubot, the chachamim were mekel in enabling a woman to collect her ketubah mishum china. Velotve ketubah dematnitin, so why don't you challenge it from ketubah in our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah it says, what's going to happen to her ketubah, and we say it stays with the Baal. So lo pliki, the answer is that they don't disagree about ketubah. It is in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, they say, what should we do with the ketubah? Beit Shammai says, split it. Beit Hillel says, it stays in Yoshe Baal. Yoshe Baal and Yoshe Av. Beit Hillel Omrim, Chasim Bechaz Katan. So, Hachi Kamar. Rabbi reads the Mishnah differently. He reads, Meita, Maye Aseh Biktubata. So, what should happen to her ketubah? Vishavka. And the Tana never answered it. And then said, Nechasim and Chasim Yotzimima, what do we do with Nechasim Alog? So the answer is that they asked the question about Ktubah, and they only answered about Nechasim Alog, but not about Ktubah, because they agreed that about Ktubah, it's split. Amravashi, Matnitin Nami Deka. Our Mishnah seems to support Abaye. Tiktani, Yachloku Yosheha Baalim Yosheha Ad. What's the order presented? That the Yosheha Baal should split with Yosheha Ad. V'loktani yosheha av im yosheha baal, right? Which means that the emphasis here is on the nichse malog, that the yosheha baal im yosheha av, they're presented first, meaning that the yosheha av are the obvious ones to hold on, and we're saying the yosheha baal have a 50% split with them. But we don't say that yosheha av have a 50% split with yosheha baal, which would imply that we're talking about ketubah, which is essentially sitting with the baal. So we say now the ketubah really is ignored. Shema mina. Good. So now Abaye, up until now, has just challenged Rabba's take. Ula's first take was the split between the Reish and the Seifa is whether or not it fell when she was Arus or Nesua. Rabba's take was whether or not she's alive or dead. Abaye challenged that. And Abaye, even though he's challenged, did not necessarily stand, nonetheless, has a third take on the Mishnah. Abaye Mar Reish Nafalakshi Shemar Yavam Seif Nafalakshi Hi Tachtav. De Baal. He says the Reish is a case where it fell to her when she was Shemar Yavam. And therefore it's totally hers. She can deal with it. She can do the business with it. The Seif was talking about stuff that fell to her after she was already married to the Yavam. And then she died. And then we say that we split it. And the reason is because Abaye says, in Nichse Malog, we hold that Yadoki Yada, meaning the man and the woman have equal claims. Rava says, if you're talking about a case where it fell to her when she was married already, everybody agrees in a case like that, he has a stronger hand on it, if it came to her after she was married. All right, so now Rava has take number four. Both cases are they fell to her when she was Shemet Yavam. Reishit lo avad ba ma'amar. Sefer da avad ba ma'amar. He has a very interesting split. He says the Reisha is a case where the Yavam didn't do anything, not even ma'amar. She's totally independent. The Sefer is a case where he did ma'amar, and that makes him connected enough to have a 50% claim. Kesavar Rava ma'amar lebeit Shammai osev vaday arusa v'safik nesua. So Rava claims that according to Beit Shammai, and now we explain the Beit Shammai Hillel split along the lines of Beit Shammai's unique position about Ma'amar that we've already seen. That according to Beit Shammai, Ma'amar creates an arusa and a possible nesua. Right? Nesua vadai, arusa, nesua vadai. Something nesua. Vadai arusa, litchot betzara. What's the purpose of her being an arusa? That it pushes the tzara out. The tzara is no longer available for yibum. Sofik nesua lachok benachosim. That she now has at least a 50% claim in the Baal's family now has a 50% claim on the property. Now, Idma Rishmeinu Rabbi Elazar, Kavateinu Rav, Idma Rishmeinu Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina, Kavateinu Abaye. We have a brayta in the name of Rabbi Elazar that supports Rava, in that if the guy did Ma'amar and then she died, then her property would be split evenly. Now we have Rabbi Yossi Hanina saying, like Abaye, that the split is between whether it fell to her as a Shomer Yavam or it fell to her as a when she was already married. Now, it's parenthetically, Miyamar Rabbi Elazar Achi, since when can Rabbi Elazar support Rav, be a support for Rava? Famously, Vamar Rabbi Elazar, Mamma the Beit Shammai no kone elu tchot betzara bilvad. Remember, Rabbi Elazar said that Beit Shammai's kinyan of Ma'amar is really very minimal. All it does is push the tzara away. It doesn't make this girl married in any way. So the answer is Epuch. You're right. Maybe the bright of Rabbi Elazar supports Abaye and the bright of Rabbi Yosef Hanina supports Rava. No, I don't have to switch him. Why? Which I'd prefer not to. Amalach Rabbi Elazar, what would he say? Ki amri ana dolosagi la beget el adabai nami chalitza. Rabbi Elazar would say as follows. When I said that Ma'amar is weak, all I meant is that the get is not enough. You need a chalitza. Achlof ben achosim nolokani mi amri. But I didn't say that as far as the property goes, that the Baal's family doesn't have a claim now. Ma'amar is strong enough to give them a claim. Good. Now, Amar Rav Papa, diyuka de manitin kavatei dabaye. Rav Papa claims that of all the four answers that we had, Ula splitting between it fell to her when she was an Arusa or Nesua, Rabba making the distinction between being alive or dead, Abaye talking about the distinction between it falling to her when she's Shomer Yavam or when she is already married to the Baal, Abaye's take, let me just clarify. Abaye's take is that the Reisha is when it fell to her when she was a Shomer Yavam. The Seif is when it fell to her earlier when she was married to the Baal. That's the claim. That's Abaye's take. And then Rava's take is to distinguish between Ma'amar and not lack of Ma'amar. Rav Papa, do you come and need to come and say Abaye? Rav Papa says, if you look at the Mishnah carefully, it supports Abaye. The Afagav the Kashimeta, even though we have the challenge on Abaye, which is Meta. Again, why do we have to pick the case of Meta? Why don't we just distinguish and say, if you have such a woman who the stuff fell to her when she was married to her first husband, and now she's a Shomer Yavam, what happens to the Perot, even as a live woman? And now, nonetheless, in spite of that question, we still think that Abaye has got the best take. Why? Tani Nechasim Nechasim V'yotzinima. Because the Mishnah says, calls the nichsem along nechasim hanichnasin viyotzin. What does that mean? Nechasin, marzim hayotzin, lav nichnasin reshut abal viyotzin reshut abal reshut av. Isn't it stuff that came in with her to her husband and then left? Meaning it came to her when she was married. Yafagav bekasha meta. And even though we have that problem of meta, to be palgi begufa lachamita lufuka b'chayal perot. Instead of having the dispute about what happens when she dies, have the dispute about if she lives, what happens to the perot. The Tulo Midi. And you're right, you don't have an answer to that. But still, Abaye's read is best. Why? Because Abaye, Rav Papa points out that the language of the Mishnah that calls Malog, Nechasim HaNichnasin V'yotzimima, seems to not be just a formula, but rather a real description of Nechasim that came in with her to the marriage. In other words, it's stuff she had when she was first married, and then left back to her father's house when her husband died. And therefore, we're talking about in the Sefer, Nechasim that fell to her when she was married to her first husband. Good. The Mishnah then says, Kinsa rei ki ishto l'chol davar, so the mai hilchata, this we've had before. What's the purpose of telling me that she's a regular wife once he does yibum? Yosef Hanina l'var shemegar shebegatu machzira. To tell me that he, if he wants to get rid of her, he has to not chalitza beget, and he can take her back. Megar shebeget pshita, that's easy. So I'm going to make a hoya l'chati, ulekacha lo li isha v'yibma. Because the pasuk says that he shall take her as a wife and be miyabim her. I might think that her first yibum relationship, meaning the fact that she was originally a vama, remains with her. So v'chalitza in megetlo, I might think that any time that he wants to divorce her, even after yibum, he has to use chalitza. Kamash v'la'an not. Now machzira pshita, it's obvious he can take her back. So it's not so obvious. Sagadai tachamena mitzvah deram yirachman alei avdom. I might think, well, he already did the mitzvah of yibum. Hash to take him alei v'yisurei shadach. And now it's an yisurei shadach. Kamash v'la'an. So that's why it teaches us that he can take her back. So why don't I say that once he divorced her, she's already Eshadach? The answer is, once the text says he takes her as a wife, now she's a 100% wife, and therefore, if he wants to take her back, he can, and there is no more Eser Eshadach. Okay, the last piece is, that the ketubah has to be on the property of the first husband. My time, the answer is, Ishai Nu Lamina Shamayim. The Shamayim, God handed him this wife. But they did say that if there is no property left of the first brother, that the second brother, the one who's Miyabim her, does have to supply the collateral, as it were, the property for the ketubah. Why? The general consideration of ketubah, which is it should not be too easy for him to divorce her in a moment of anger. He would know that it will be very expensive, and that's why we have the takana of ketubah. Famous Takanav Shimon Ben Shatach. Everyone should have a wonderful day.